truly we pray, God bless America. As I wrote in the newsletter, we're not perfect. But how come thousands and thousands are doing everything they can to get here? They'd rather be here than anywhere else in the world. A lot of folks would be. So we're blessed. We were born here. We grew up here. We're blessed. Thank you for coming to the Lord's house today as we worship, as we celebrate our freedoms, and we celebrate our freedom as believers in Jesus Christ, knowing that because of Him we live now and for all of eternity. Welcome those that are in the sanctuary, those that might be in the parking lot, those that are listening later on the website. All of you are welcome as we worship Jesus today, our Lord and Savior. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you today, thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom we have as Americans. Thank you for the freedom that we have as believers. Lord, we're so grateful for the verse that says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Father, thank you that we're free from sin, free from Satan's clutches, free from everything that would harm us, and that we have a home in heaven that you've prepared for us. Thank you, Father. Now as we spend this time in worship, may the Spirit of God be in control in all that we sing, all that we say, all that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Happy Independence Day to everybody. As we normally do, traditionally, the first of each month, we recognize the birthdays and anniversaries, and so we need to do that now for the month of July. Doesn't take long for it another month to flip around here. Birthdays for the month of July: Jerry Kelly, July the 5th; Sue Barbie, July the 6th; Kenny Linker, July the 10th; Vivian Austin, July the 19th; Eva Ann Howard, July the 20th; Aiden Hartzell, July the 20th; Nell Jackman, July the 31st; Lori Keplinger, July 31st. Did I miss anyone? Anywhere? All right, give me a key. Let's sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And the anniversaries, Leonard and Donna Harville, July the 2nd. And yeah, this is 57 years for me. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, I got a couple of them. Found one in our chair down in Bible school. We're going to take that one home. But no, God's been good. God's been good. Jerry and Carol Kelly, July the 19th. How many years over there? How many? 54. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, congratulations. Congratulations, everyone. Now, if we will, let's think about being an Independence Day. Let's sing My Country, 'Tis the Fee at 6:34. It'll be up on the board. We'll do all four verses. As we stand, please. John certainly said, amen. You may be seated. You might turn and welcome someone this morning. Just say good morning to everybody. We'll speak. I don't have a lot of announcements this morning, but I would like to take just a moment and reflect and to thank everyone who had a part of Bible school. I think we had a very successful Bible school. All the classes were in place, and we had a wonderful time together. I was proud of the adult group that came. We had a good adult class, and we had good classes all the way through. I want to thank Rita for leading out and leading this school as the way she did. And I want to tell you, I'll say it again, as I watched these young people at commencement, and I watched them fill this stage, and I watched them sing, and I watched them pray, and I thought, what a beautiful youth group that's going to be in this church someday, real, real soon. Matter of fact, you already are. And I thank you. Thanks, moms and dads, for sending these children and bringing these children, and for what a job you did. I thoroughly enjoyed the music part, Kathy, that you were taking part in for music. It was wonderful all the way around. And so anyway, I just want to reflect on Bible school and what a wonderful school it was. And thanks, Jeff, for the food. I still ate the spaghetti yesterday, and it was really, Mr. Magoo. I'll call you Mr. Magoo from now on. All right. It is Independence Day, and everyone have a wonderful Independence Day and have a good time. If you go visit someone, have a good time and travel. If you do travel, be careful. Do be careful. Any announcements that I have not over, I may have overlooked? Anything needs to be said? We got an area-wide revival September the 5th through the 9th and 12th through the 16th at Stanley County Fairgrounds, Highway 52 South, with Reverend Ralph Saxton. This is sponsored by the many churches in Stanley and Montgomery counties. So if you can be part of that, go see them and be with them. Got a lot of time to plan and pray for it, Pastor, and we will certainly need to do that. So let's be part of that if you have can do that, please. Anyone else? Anywhere else? All right, let's go to our prayer requests this morning, prayer needs. We've already, in Sunday school, we're reminded that Kenny's mom needs our prayers. She's ailing and some this morning and having some problems. We need, and Brother Kenny's with her this morning, so we need to lift her up. Pam brought to our attention that the Christians being persecuted in Iran. We need to lift those people up, and persecuted our people around the world as far as that goes. Anyone having prayer requests this morning? Let's remember Pam. Pam is asked for prayer. Let's keep her prayer too. All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity you've given us today, Lord, to be in your house, to be able to worship. And Lord, we do thank you for America. We thank you for a time of independence we take. But Lord, we don't take our independence lightly. Our lesson this morning advised us and taught us that we need to remember, Lord, to be able to keep you first in our lives and not our selfish ways, but to keep you first always. And remember those around us, Lord, and what we do and what we say. But Lord, we do thank you for a time that we can be together today, a time of independence, a time to worship. But now, Lord, as we come and worship today, we want to thank you, Lord, for those that are here, those who prioritize their time to be with us today, Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, there are some that we want to lift up specifically this morning to you in prayer that need healing. We pray for Kenny's mom. We lift her up to you today, Lord. Pray for Kenny and all the caregivers that are with her today. We also pray, Lord, and for the Christians being persecuted and all the world over, but specifically where there was some mentioned this morning in Iran. And then we lift up Pam to you. We pray for her and pray for her well-being. We pray for strength. We pray for guidance for her. Now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we lift up Pastor Ed as he comes before us today, and we ask your special blessing upon him. And then, Lord, as we go further in the service, we want to thank you, Lord, already for the blessings you will give us and for all that's been said today. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a song, that America the Beautiful. But we're going to have it on the board. We're going to do things a little differently with this one. So as we stand, please, let's sing America the Beautiful, and we'll follow the video that we have, and I think it was a very pretty video. Said amen. Hey, while you're standing, let's honor America and pledge to allegiance to the flag, please. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. And children, you are dismissed.
As we've just been singing and fellowshipping and reminding ourselves that this is the season of the year that we celebrate our independence as Americans in this wonderful country that we're a part of. Let's begin by using our imagination for a minute. Let's suppose somebody came to you tomorrow and said, we found this humongous island out in the sea. It's got everything that you need. I mean, it's got water. It's got farmable land. It's got oil. It's got forest. And it's all yours. And nobody lives there. And you're thinking, I can start my own nation. I've got this humongous island, hundreds of square miles. It's got everything I need for a nation. I'm going to start my own nation. Sounds like saying United States of Ed? United States of Leonard or, or Robert? Or, you know, we start our own nation. What are some of the things that you'd want in your nation if you were starting a nation? What are some of the characteristics that you would have? You'd say, now this is the way it really I'd like for my nation to look. Material prosperity. You'd want that, wouldn't you? Plenty of food. You'd want healthy families with lots of love. You'd want healthy families without disease. You'd want some military strength from protection. You'd want to be honored by surrounding nations. And since you're Christian, you'd want it to be a godly place. So you think about those things that you'd want in your nation. Prosperity, blessing, strength, godliness. That would make for an awesome nation, wouldn't it? Excuse me. That'd make for an awesome nation. To have all those kind of wonderful things. Now let's go back and think for just a moment about Israel. There was a time when Israel was not a nation. I mean, after all, God called Abraham and his wife, two people. And then suddenly you got Isaac and Rebecca and two sons, so there's four people. And then you've got Jacob and two wives and 12 sons, a little bigger group. And then they go down to Egypt and 72 people down in Egypt. Not a nation. Now down in Egypt they grow to be millions of people. But they weren't a nation. They were just a bunch of slaves with the same DNA. The same family tree. But they weren't a nation. They were a bunch of slaves. And then suddenly the Lord uses Moses to set them free. And he guides through the power of God over the years, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And suddenly, they're at the promised land. They're at the borders of the promised land. And for the first time, Israel is about to become a nation. For the first time, they're about to become their own people. The nation of Israel. And as they gather there on the border of the promised land, God tells them the kind of nation they can have. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And God tells Israel the kind of nation they can be. And see how it parallels the nation that you're going to build on your island. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's see it, verse 2. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now he says, you're going to have a blessed nation. In fact, these blessings are going to chase you down. Now think about that. It says, these blessings shall overtake you. At the rate I run these days, we get out here in the parking lot and start running, any one of these youngins would overtake me. I mean, if I got a half a parking lot head start, y'all would still catch me. You'd chase me down. God says, you can have a nation where blessings chase you down. Then what does he say in verse 3? Blessed shalt thou be in thy city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. You're going to be blessed everywhere. The city folks are going to be blessed, and the farmers are going to be blessed. The people who live out in the countryside are going to be blessed, and the tradesmen in the city are going to be blessed. And then we're going to look at verse 4. Blessed shalt thou be in the field, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind or their cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee the good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and so bless all the work of thine hands, and thou shalt lend unto many nations and shalt not borrow. Wow. God says, I'm just going to bless you financially going and coming. Your children are going to be blessed. You're going to have wonderful families. You farmers are going to be blessed. You cattle raisers are going to be blessed. You sheep herders are going to be blessed. Your baskets are going to be full. Your storehouses are going to be full. Everything you can want is going to be there. You're going to be so, so blessed. Verse 7, which we skipped. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. In other words, you're going to be a powerful military nation. So the enemies are going to come from one way, but when you start to fight them, they're going to scatter to the winds. You're going to be powerful, powerful. Let's read the first part of verse 13. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. In other words, you're going to be an honored nation. Verse 10 says, all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by thy name and of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. You're going to be honored by the nations of the world. The head, not the tail. The nations around are going to be afraid of you. And then verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. You'll be a godly nation. Sounds like the kind of nation you want to build on your island, doesn't it? God says, listen, you've never been a nation before. Right across the Jordan River, is your land. I'm giving it to you. And when you go into this land, this is the kind of nation you can be. I'm going to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you in every possible way. Well, that sounds good. But how do you make it possible? How do these wonderful promises that God made to the people come to pass? Is it just automatic? Or is there something they've got to do? Look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass if, now that's a mighty big if, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, saith the Lord thy God, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Look at verse 13, the last part of it. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. God says to Israel, you've never been a nation. I'm going to make a nation out of you. I'm going to offer to you fantastic blessings as a nation on this condition that I be God of your nation. That I be the Lord of your nation. That I be supreme in your nation. And that those things that I have taught you, those things I have given you to do, those rules and regulations, you live by them. God says, you honor me and your nation will be blessed. Honor me, your nation will be blessed, over and over and over again. Very interesting verse, Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Very simply, God is saying, you be honoring me and you will be blessed. Now look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he goes on and lists just the opposite of everything that I've said about blessing. God says, you folks have a choice. I offer you a nation that's blessed. A nation that's blessed in every possible way. And if you choose to follow me, you will be blessed. But if you choose to disobey, worship other gods, turn your back on me, you will be cursed. That simple. And you can read the book of Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you see up and down, over and over again, when Israel was godly, Israel was blessed. When Israel was ungodly, Israel ran into trouble. It's so interesting during the book of Judges. Israel would sin, they would turn away from God, and finally they'd come to their senses and say, this is no way to live, and they would cry out, and God would give them a judge. And whether it was Gideon or Deborah or one of the others, God would give them a judge. And that judge would lead the people to victory. And for 20, 30, 40 years, they would be blessed. And at the end of that time, that judge would die. They'd go back to their old sinful ways. The enemies would begin to prevail. And they'd be in misery until they cried out and said, God, we got to have help. And it seems like they never could learn that lesson. To just stay true to the Lord for on and on and on. Israel had a choice. They could be a blessed nation or a cursed nation. It was their choice. And you know that's our choice as well. In our Sunday school lesson, Pamela shared just a little bit. But you know, our nation was started with a lot of godly principles. I mean, you read the lives of those founding fathers, even back to the 1500s, 1600s, 1776. Guess what? Not a single one of them was perfect. Not a single one of them, but one had a flaw or two. But you know, they were a group of people that believed the Bible. Followed the Bible to a great extent. You look at the Mayflower Compact and some of the other things that were written, how God was a part of it. Now I know it's not real popular these days in academia to talk about that. They like to paper it all over and pick out some atheist that was a founding father and make you think that nobody was a Christian and nobody believed and nobody thought right and nobody did right. But they're ignoring the facts. You go back and look at some of the things that George Washington wrote. You look at that, what do they call it, the New England Primer that Pam referred to, where all the, they learned their ABCs with scripture verses. You look at the readers that they had. Look at the things that were done in the early history of our nation. We were founded as best they knew how in their time on godly principles. They didn't get it all right. That's why we had to go back and add some amendments to the Constitution and other things. But they believed. And if you go back and study American history, the times that we had moves of God, like the first, second, and third great awakenings, when people turned to God in mass numbers, this nation was blessed. And you look at the times when we have gone off into sinful practices. And we've been cursed. We've been into trouble. God has blessed this nation in tremendous ways. We've been a light to the world. We've been a blessing to the world. Our finances, you know, like the Marshall Plan and other things that were a great blessing to the world, the hundreds of thousands of Christian missionaries we've sent to spread the gospel around the world, the number of things that we've done have been tremendous. But we get a choice. And right now we need to return to God. And somehow or another, in one sense, I think we've lost how serious the condition is. Right after 9/11, you know, they called on churches to have special times of prayer. I don't know whether y'all did or not. Like noon tomorrow and the next day we're going to have special time for prayer. Even though I had a church that was averaging maybe 140, I could have had the prayer meeting in my car. That's sad. Church attendance jumped up for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And then it went right back to normal, which was really subnormal. Folks, if we want revival, if we want our nation to be blessed, you do need to vote right, led by the Holy Spirit. But this nation's not going to be blessed just by going to the ballot box. This nation's going to be blessed when our hearts get right with God and He becomes Lord of our nation. Our generation, in many, many ways, has gotten away from God. One of the things we need to do, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the ungodly and don't do what they do. Now, that doesn't mean that you isolate yourself in a monastery somewhere. That means that doesn't mean that you don't witness to the ungodly, but it does mean that you don't condone the practices of the ungodly. You say, well, that's all right. I mean, I know the Bible says it's wrong, but, you know, it's okay. No, we don't do that. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. I haven't seen any special bulletin from heaven that says, go back and strike out these verses and these verses and these verses. If it was wrong 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, it's still wrong. If it was right then, it's right now. The Bible says, have nothing to do with the ungodly. Now, we don't mistreat people. We're not ugly to people. We're not hateful to people. We love them in the name of Jesus. We just don't go along with their practices. Hollywood can make all the filthy movies they want to make. I'm not going to any of them. I don't even know how much it costs to go to a movie these days, but whether it's $4 or $7 or $12, I'm not spending my money on that. They can sing all the filthy songs they want to sing. I'm not buying any of those CDs. Old people had records. CDs or whatever. Put them on your iPad or whatever. I'm not buying it. Have nothing to do with the ungodly. Instead, live a godly life. Live a life that honors the Lord, that people can see by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we act, by the places we go, the things we watch, the things we read. This man, this woman loves Jesus. Let them see Jesus in us. How does Jesus put it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify you, glorify your Father in heaven. We need to pray boldly. Pray boldly. Now Israel got to choose the kind of nation they were going to live in. And various generations chose various ways. We get to choose the nation that we live in. And over the 400 years or so of our nationhood, of course I know we haven't been a nation that long, but our time here in America, we've chosen good and godly, and we've chosen ugly. You know, downstairs in the hall, what's hanging on the wall? The what? I didn't understand you. Hanging on the wall downstairs in the hall is the men, I think it's all men, in service. Is that not downstairs in the hall? And you prayed for them. You prayed for them. Are we still praying for them? Not those particular ones, but others. We honored those men who went off in World War I and World War II and Korea, Vietnam. We prayed for them. I understand that many churches during World War II had special prayer meetings regularly, praying for the troops. We still have troops in harm's way. And it could be worse. Are we praying for them? How long since you've added a name to that list? Seriously. Seriously. We get to choose the nation we live in. And God wants to be a blessing. God says, I want blessings to chase you down. You can't run fast enough to get away from the blessings. Now that's the kind of nation I want to live in. That's the kind of nation I attempt to vote for. That's the kind of nation I pray for. That's the nation, kind of nation I want to pattern my life for. And I pray that that's the kind of nation you want as well. A God-blessed nation. What did he say? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee up on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You can pray and you can vote concerning Washington. And you should. But most of all, it's how you choose to live and how I choose to live in this nation. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you come? If there's somebody that needs to make another decision, if you just want to come and pray for your nation, would you come?
All right, would you look at me for a moment? This morning, at the end of Sunday school, Pamela was asking for prayer. And so, if you read the last few verses of the book of Mark, it says, believers. We got believers here. Shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I'm going to ask Pamela to come up here, and anybody that would like to, gather around. You can touch her. You can touch who's touching her. And we're going to pray for her. If you'll come, Pam. Of you in your own way, just spend a few moments praying for Pam. And then I'm going to pray. Father, you tell us in your word that as we go out, we are to lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. And he says that when the disciples obeyed that, Jesus worked with them, and it was so. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands upon Pam. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Christ over her. We curse the sickness, the disease. Yes. Whatever's causing it, we curse it in Jesus' name. Yes. It has no right to live in her body. We tell it to get out now in Jesus' name. Yes. Devil, take it back to hell where Jesus took it 2,000 years ago. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray your healing touch upon Pam from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Yes, thank you. That she might feel and experience total, complete healing. Yes. To your glory. Yes. To your glory.
Yes, Lord. To your glory.
Father, we thank you that you made it possible for us as believers to join our faith with hers. You tell us that we have faith and say mountains can move. And so we pray right now with faith the mountain of disease to be moved.
Yes.
And a mountain of healing to take its place. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. We thank you that it's done in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you.
We thank you, Father, that it's done in Jesus' name.
Praise.
Amen.